Well, we want to welcome you to our services this morning. We're thankful that you've joined us and so glad to be a part of church with you this morning. And so appreciate everyone being here. Pastor is away with family and celebrating granddaughter's birthday. And so he asked if we could cover. And so he's in Missouri with them. And planning to bring Jaylee back with them, I believe, and so she can go to camp and be a part of that experience. And so looking forward to what the Lord might allow there. And so we're excited to be here together, and I'm missing Pastor and Miss Stacy, but nonetheless excited to be with you. And so thanks for being here. I want to pray, if we could, and ask the Lord to direct our time together, that we would be profitable for us and for Him. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. There's only so much time that we have in this moment to be together. There's only so much available that you have allowed for us in this time of being church today. And I do pray that the sentiment with which Tim charged us with, that we would be intentional and we would learn from your scriptures. I do pray that you would teach us to be mindful of your working among us. Sometimes we are guilty of missing what you're doing. And I do pray that you would allow us to know what that looks like and that we would enjoy that process. Thank you for the passage that we're going to look at this morning. Thank you for your scriptures and how you reveal yourself to us. Thank you so much for all that you speak and all that you do. We're excited to be a part of that process. And I'm just praying your blessing on this time. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the first Sunday of the summer season. I don't know if we could get the kids in here, they would all be really excited because school is over with. They finished their last week of school last week. I don't know if you can join me in having a hard time believing that summer is just beginning, but we're almost halfway through the year. Pretty soon it's going to be Christmas time. Y'all won't even think about Christmas right now, do you? Slow down. Well, unfortunately, we can't because it'll be here before we know it, and it's coming. I remember, and I can identify with how these kids are feeling with summer getting here. It comes about spring break, and it seems like it's never going to get here. And we just wait, anticipate. You remember being a kid and remembering those, or thinking about the big events coming, thinking they're just never going to get here. You have a trip planned and you're going to go to the beach for vacation and you think, man, it's just never going to get here. Or you plan on going to Disney World and it's been a year in the making. And as a kid, you think, it's just never going to get here. Christmas time is never going to get here. Remember the countdown on December? Day one, day two, and just 25 days just seems like so hard to wait for it to come. You remember that? Like you feel that? And as you get older, time seems to go faster. It doesn't actually go faster. I confirmed that with Google. It doesn't actually go faster. It's the same interval of seconds after seconds, but when you get older, it seems to be perceived as just flying by. And what seemed like minutes and hours as a kid now seems like just weeks just flash by. And it's just like, man, that was a month ago. That was 10 years ago. Like me and my wife, we just celebrated 21 years of marriage. Wow. Like I'm excited. She survived that long with me, and she's blessed for that. God's got a lot of rewards for her. But it's 21 years doesn't seem like anything really. Like it just seems like it just came and went. But I remember celebrating the first year anniversary and feeling like, man, that was just so long. And how would we ever make it to 20 years? That's just so far out there. Now it's like, I don't know how we'll ever make it to 60 years, but it'll be here before we know it. That's the nature of time. Well, this season is inaugurated by graduation ceremonies and summer plans, school being out, and different things happening. I don't know if you got to go to graduation Friday night, and I run out of time, and I was late getting there. I was running late, and so I missed all the speeches. I missed all the beginning of the graduation and those walking. I did get to hear Camry's name on the speaker, and I saw her video on the screen. That's when I was walking into the parking lot, was when Camry was announced. And but those scenes, those ideas, are they come with this sense of taking advantage of time. A lot of times, I didn't hear the speeches. My wife said they were good, but a lot of times they come with the idea of understanding how much time you have left and taking advantage of what is left so that you make the best of it. There's a lot of that flavor and vibe to this season of life. I was sitting in the stands, and I had an idea, a thought, and if you're ever the valedictorian or the salutatorian and you want to steal this illustration, I give you all copyright infringements, and you're welcome to steal it if you ever get that opportunity. But I didn't know if you noticed, but I noticed that they were giving away diplomas on about the 18 to 20 yard line of the football field. And if you think about it, if you take every yard as a year of their life, they had the rest of that football field to live. And as you look at that, they've lived just a small portion of their life, and it seems like to them it's been forever. Y'all remember high school graduation? It's like, it's just, man, I've lived everything. I like that is my life is full. Like this is everything. It's just a small portion of your life. And now you look back, and I graduated 24 years ago from high school. Like, what in the world? How? I never saw that when I was standing on that 18-yard line or 19-yard line on the football field. But if you look at that as an illustration of what they have left, it kind of puts it into perspective of how much time we have left and how quickly it gets away from us if we're not careful. And so this season of life, this season of the year, it tends to bring this idea of like, oh, summer's here. But if you're not careful, summer will be gone before you even notice. And we'll be starting school again, and then it'll be Thanksgiving, and then it'll be Christmas. And then school will be over again. We'll go through another graduation. And then they'll just keep rolling, and the further we go, the quicker it goes. As somebody said, it's like toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster the roll goes. Time has a tendency to slip away from us. And we should be diligent. We should take advantage of the time we have. We should invest in time. And I would make this idea for you, transition this idea, that speeches in this season cause us to think, and at least for a moment take thought to spend our time wisely. But it should be even more so when it comes to the way God wants us to spend our time. He is the one that blesses us with time. He has given us so much time. He knows how much time. To this point, you've been blessed with how much ever years of life you've been given. And however you have spent it is over. You can't go back and undo the time you've been given. All you can do is make a decision from now going forward to change the way you're going to spend your time. But I will tell you, if you're not careful, time will get away from you. And you will have lived a life and not been intentional to spend it for God. And somebody will be at your funeral thinking and perceiving the same opportunity maybe that you have right now and thinking, man, I am aware of time. There's only so much time. And have I made my life count? Funerals have an interesting way of teaching us perspective. Eternal perspective. And it's one of the purposes of a funeral is to cause us to think and perceive what we have available in life. And so if you're not careful, You can be like some I've seen on their deathbed that wish they would have spent their time more wisely for God. And there's nothing more saddening than when you've invested a life and it's been for purposes that doesn't matter in eternity. Those have been some miserable bedside moments that people have regretted, people have wished, people have hoped that they would have done better. They live with regrets and then they die with regrets. And so I believe that God would have us to be more intentional than that. He would have us to be conscious. And so I want to take advantage of this season, and I feel like the Lord wants us to take a look at this principle and this idea of that time is ticking. We can't change that. We are only given so much time. And so we're going to see some principles on time that I want to point to. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Just three verses this morning is all we're going to look at. And time is an interesting thing. Brother Tim read our psalm for us this morning, and it had a lot to do with God's perspective of time. He's outside of time. He created time. He sees all of time. And then it talks about how that time is just, it's navigable for him. He is, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. And there's nothing, time is not a worry for God. He's not running out of time. He knows what he has available as far as time goes. And then the principles show up in that verse, that's going to show up in this verse, that we should actually number our days. We should seek to be intentional about how we invest our time, and are we sowing it to the harvest of eternity. And so I want to look at this passage. I want to make a few observations and some applications to help us out as we look at our time. So this is what it says. Paul says this in verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." This passage is couched in a section of Scripture where Paul is practically engaging the church at Ephesus to help them understand how to walk in the Lord, how they're supposed to live their day-to-day life. There's so many, the last half of Ephesians is packed full of so many practical little things of how you should live your life as Christians. And a part of that, he takes three verses of this passage and he unfolds some principles that we need to learn about how we use our time. He was concerned that the Ephesians used their time wisely because they only had so much. And so he takes some time to invest these three verses into their lives and then now into our lives, and to help us understand what we can learn about time. The first thing that I would help you understand is this, that we need to demonstrate diligence with your time rather than living haphazardly. So when he says this word circumspectly, I don't know if you know what that is. It has to do with a circumference, but it means this. It means to be exactly, diligently. It means accurately or perfectly. So when you think of a circle is a complete line. It doesn't grow or shrink. It is what it is. It's circumspectly. The other day I was talking to somebody and they were describing their new pool they put in their backyard. And they said it's a 24 by 24. And I said, "Is it a square pool?" I've never seen a square pool, so I was kind of curious. He's like, "No, it's round." "What do you mean 24 by 24? Because 24 round, like, what? It's 24 feet." And we'll come to find out if that's how it was labeled on the box. Somebody, it's 24 foot pool. And so, but that's exactly what it is. It's a 24 foot pool. And so circumspectly, Paul is instructing us to be diligent, to be exact with your time. Don't just be flippant and let your time just slip away. Be sure that you're precise with how you spend your time. Make sure that you're being intentional and not just letting it slip away. You ever find yourself living that way? We just had a sheetrock guy come yesterday to the house, because for the last couple years there's been some sheetrock needs in my house, because it's that thing that I'll always get to. I'll do that next week. Right? You put it off, you delay, something else comes up, and then you finally just start living with it, and you don't even realize the sheetrock needs to be fixed. There's a big hole in the ceiling. It's okay. It's whatever. And then somebody comes in and they're like, "What happened here?" Oh, yeah, it's a project. Long story. Let's not talk about that. I think Courtney probably hired some people to talk about that when they come to my house. Like, hey, mention the hole in the ceiling and help get this ball rolling. But if you're not careful, if you're not precise with your time, it just flies away. And then before you know it, you've lived 10 years and haven't invested the way you wanted to. You haven't built relationships the way you was hoping to. You haven't served God the way you were wanting to. You haven't been a witness the way you should have been. You had good plans, but because you weren't precise in giving yourself an idea of I'm going to accomplish this and this is how I'm going to move forward, we allow time to just fly away. And Paul is telling us, like, hey, listen, if you're gonna take advantage of the time that you have been given by God, you need to be precise in the way you spend it. Be precise. Be exact. Be diligent. Because if you're not, it will just flutter away and disappear. He says, not as fools, but as wise. He's saying, look, pay attention. Your time is a precious commodity. And if you don't pay attention, you will live your life and not had any investment from your time. It gets away from you. And before you know it, you're too old, or you're too far gone, or your health isn't in good enough shape, or you've missed that opportunity, or that window is gone. And time gets away, and now all of a sudden, there's regrets. So demonstrate diligence with your time rather than living haphazardly. Verse 16 says this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This is the principle that Paul would teach us out of this verse. You should rescue your time from being lost to urgent but insignificant ideas. There's lots of things that are really urgent. You probably faced a lot of urgent things just this week. You'll probably face some more this week. In fact, I know you will. Because life is full of urgent needs. Has to happen right now. Paul says to rescue your time from being lost to urgent but insignificant ideas. This word redeem, it means this, to rescue from loss, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. Let me ask you this question. Does graduation matter to you as much now as it did when you were walking that stage? You remember that day when you showed up in your cap and gown and it seemed like everything was just in order? You'd finally made it. You'd achieved everything that you wanted to achieve. Life was good. There was a party afterwards to celebrate what you'd done. You remember how that felt and how significant that moment was? And now being 10, 15, 24 years removed from graduation, it's really not that significant anymore. I'm glad that I graduated, but I don't remember really much about it. I don't think about it a lot. It doesn't come up on my mind. If it did, you'd be weird. Like, oh man, back in 2000 when I graduated, can't believe it. That's all you talked about? It's like, what's wrong with you? You're shallow, man. It's like, this graduation. But to a senior, it's significant. It matters. And so he's telling us that there's an opportunity for your time to be lost to things that are of the right now that really have no value eternally. He says, you need to rescue your time from being lost. You need to go out and you need to save it from being lost, and then being lost to insignificant ideas. He uses another word. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Your time is evil. That's the way Paul describes it. That means to be hurtful or of a bad nature. There is a deception that we, for some reason, are so derailed by. And it's these things that come up that are pressing. And we allow these things to take away our opportunities to invest in things that are actually important. There's a really great article called Tyranny of the Urgent. If you're interested in it, I would love to pass it on to you. It's about 4 pages long. But in that article, he describes this pull to be constantly taken advantage of by urgent needs. Somebody gets sick, has to go to the doctor. That's urgent. We need to take care of that right now. That's why we call it urgent care. I need to go to work. I need to be at that particular person's house because if I'm not there, then I'll miss that opportunity to meet this person. And we have that party came up, and their birthday is happening this weekend. And these things tend to be just filling our calendars, and we get sucked into losing our time to being so busy. And the question is are we busy with things that are important? Or are they truly just urgent things that happen on a regular basis in our life? And Paul is trying to help us understand, don't lose your time. Don't allow your time to fleet away, spending it on things that are urgent but not important. Another principle that I'd give you is verse 17. It says this, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is a principle that I'd give you. The will of God fits into your 168 hours. I don't know if you know this or not, but you have 168 hours every week. Today is the beginning of a new week, and apart from what you have already spent from midnight last night till now, 11 hours and 11 minutes and 32 seconds, 33 seconds, 34 seconds, 35 seconds, apart from whatever you've already spent, you have 168 hours for this week. You won't get more, and you won't take less. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're talented or untalented. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult or you're single or you're married. It doesn't matter. We have 168 hours a week to spend. And we spend them whether we like it or not. This idea in this passage, he's saying, don't be unwise about the way you spend your time, but understand what the will of God is. You need to be in tune with God. You need to be walking with God, having a relationship with Him, so you can know what it is that God wants you to spend your time on. What's important to God? Without that, you risk being a fool. You risk being unwise in the way you spend your time. And so he's saying, look, you, whatever God's will for your life is, it will fit in that 168 hours of life that you have. those words in this passage, that word unwise, it means without reflection or intelligence, acting rashly, not having any thought about your time, just letting it be spent in a way that just casually happens with randomness. Not reflecting or having an intelligent picture of what your time looks like. Now, the word understanding, it means to set or bring together. It's this idea of having an idea of where your life is going and what God wants for your life, and then setting in motion the things that need to happen so that you get to the end of the life that God wants you to get to. It's kind of like the proverbial guy that leans his ladder up against the wall and climbs the building and then finds out he was at the wrong building. Right? He climbed the wrong ladder. He didn't actually end up where he wanted to go. He went up, but he didn't end up at the right place. And so time can be that, where we, if we're not intentional, we end up spending our time and then we get to the end and we're thinking, well, I didn't mean to get here at all. This is not where God wanted me to be. I wanted to be in a whole different place. I wanted to do something totally different. I wanted to be a different kind of person. I wanted to serve God a whole different way. And here I am. I've spent my life. I've climbed my ladder and it leaned against the wrong building. And so Paul is instructing to be wise with our time, to have understanding, to know what the will of God is and how that fits in your 168 hours. Now, there's another thought here that I would encourage you with. Because most of us in our busyness are up against a pressure point. And it's this. We have a really hard time saying no. And so we tend to say yes too much. And that brings in pressures and anxieties that God never intended for us to carry. We get involved with too many things. We say yes to too much going on, and we're invested in doing things. And before long, yeses lead to urgencies, but not important things. And if we're not careful, saying yes too many times sabotages our effectiveness and the eternal blessing of the time invested in our life. And we can get sidetracked by all kinds of sorts of things. And I would give you this idea, this freedom that the Lord helps with. He only intends for you to invest 168 hours a week. And there's certain principles that He gives in Scripture to help you govern that 168 hours a week. As Americans, as a driven culture for success, one of the areas that we typically steal from in order to advantage ourselves is our sleep. Most Americans sleep less than other countries in the world. That's just our culture, because we've got to get up early, we've got to stay up late, we've got to go, we've got to go, we've got to go, because there's more that I need to get done than fits in my 168 hours. And so I've got to rob from somewhere, or I've got to steal from something so that I can accomplish what I'm after accomplishing. But Scripture clearly teaches that we're supposed to steward our time of rest. Whenever you pillow your head at night, in faith, saying, there's God, there's more things that need to be accomplished, but I wasn't able to get all those accomplished, but I'm going to bed anyways. When you say that, you are in faith saying, God, I trust you more than I trust myself. I trust that you will allow me to accomplish what you want me to accomplish, but everything else that's not what you want me to accomplish, you'll leave it off the calendar. You'll make up the gap. You'll fill in the difference. You will provide where I can't. There's no greater act of trust than rest. I don't know if you ever thought about rest that way, but it's an incredible sowing to rest. And I'm not telling you to be lazy. There's also the other principle. You take too much rest and you're a sluggard, is what Scripture says. But there is a need to take rest. And there's other areas. There's things that we need to be more diligent about. I'll give you another good example. I am preaching this morning, and there is an urgent need for me to prepare. Because if I don't prepare, I stand up here embarrassed. Because I have nothing to offer, nothing to give, nothing to say. And so there's an urgency to prepare and study. But you know, there's something more important than that. How do I know what God wants me to prepare and study? And it's probably never crossed your mind, not having had to have this responsibility. But it is a huge temptation to stand here prepared without having spent time with the Father. Because I got to get it done. I got to get that outline wrote. I got to make the PowerPoint. I got to make sure that I have the references. I got to have the notes. I got to make sure it's clear. I got to make sure my clothes are ready. I got to make sure that when I know where I'm going and I have something funny to say and I want to include that and I need an illustration. Like, there's so much pressure to perform that we forget that we need to be personal with the Father. And it creates this sense of urgency. Maybe you feel pressure at work. There's a project that has to be done. There's a deadline that has to be met. You're behind. Your to-do list has gotten 3 weeks long, and it's been that way for 6 weeks. You're not getting anywhere. No traction. Maybe you feel that pressure, and it becomes urgent. Like, I'll just leave an hour earlier every day, and I'll start trying to get ahead. I'll start trying to catch up. And we face these urgent pressures all the time. And if you're not careful, you'll sacrifice what's most important, your time with Him, because it's urgent that you get to work. As a student, you have a final or exam, the STAR test coming up. It becomes urgent for you to study. It becomes urgent for you because there's a scholarship on the line. It becomes urgent to stay home and invest hard work so that you'll be rewarded with a scholarship or with an acclamation or a reward. And it becomes very urgent to study, but then it's easy to miss the important time of gathering with your church family. Those are important to God. He says they should be important to us. But if we're not careful, urgent, pressing matters can cause us to sacrifice what is important. But I would remind you that the will of God will fit into your 168 hours. There is a way, through the grace of Jesus Christ, that you can accomplish exactly what Jesus wants you to accomplish. He didn't shortchange you on time. We think that, you know, like, man, if I only had another 5 hours every day, it'd be so helpful. I could get all this done. And I'd be so much more productive. But really what we would do is just fill it with more urgent things, more things that steal our time, more things that aren't productive, more things that aren't important. And then we would want 5 more hours because we wasted those 5 hours. We have a tendency to flock to what is urgent and ignore what is important. I have a tongue twister that I come up with, and I want to put it on the screen because it's hard to say. But I want to give you this, and I want you to think about it. Maybe you can write it down. It's this: time ticking not taken takes a toll on the treasure of your time. It's a lot of words there. Sympathetic of Peter Piper and his pickled peppers. But time ticking, it's going, right? There is a forward motion. It doesn't stop. I look at the clock again, and it's 11:22. Now it's 35 seconds, 36 seconds. That clock is still ticking away, and we are approaching the time we're going to be done. Right? It's ticking by. So time ticking, not taken. If you don't take advantage of it, if you don't seize that time, if you don't capitalize on what's available, then it takes a toll. A toll is a cost, You have to go through a toll booth and you have to pay money to drive on that highway. And so if you don't take the time that's ticking away, it will cost you from the treasure of your time. Your time is invaluable. Whatever you do for Christ will be done now. It will be done in this life. It will be invested eternally here. And you only have so much. You can only allow so much. If billionaires were able to buy time, they would invest their fortunes into time, having more time. But they're only given 168 hours a week, just like you and I. So time ticking, not taken, takes a toll on the treasure of your time. Make sense? Maybe you'll try to say that when you get home, five times fast. See if you can keep up with it. Time ticking, not taken, takes a toll on the treasure of your time. Your time is valuable, and make sure you are taking advantage of your time. I want to share three ideas, three things of mistakes that we most often make with our time. Okay, this may help you a little bit. One is this: we waste our time. We waste it. Spend it on things that are frivolous. The statistics are incredible, how much time you and I spend on television. How much time we spend on Facebook. If you don't believe me, I'm not sure how this works on a Droid, but if you have an iPhone, there's a funny little feature in there called screen time. And if you want to take a guess at where you are on this idea of wasting your time, go in there and look at what you spend your time on your phone doing. I challenge you. Go to your prayer closet in the morning with your phone and open it to screen time and begin to look through there and ask God to examine the way you've spent your time on your phone. That's just on your phone. You will probably be shocked when it shows you 7 hours on Facebook. Yesterday. What? Wow. 3 hours watching YouTube? Really? You'd probably be shocked. We waste our time on so many things. And I'll tell you, this is in connection to Connect. The devil deceives us in what is significant and what matters. And we have these ideas that we need downtime, we need to unplug from life. That's different than rest. But he tricks us, and then we get sucked in. And once we get sucked in, it's like a vortex, and we can't get out of that time waster. I don't know what people did before FaceTime or Facebook or instant messaging or cell phones or the internet, but we've always been a people that waste our time. It's a mistake that we make with our time. Be careful that you don't waste your time. Another one is this, that we wander through our time. Just move aimlessly. No real thought of what we're doing. We just live day to day. We respond to every circumstance and thing that happens. And before long, we get somewhere and we have no idea how we got there. You can do that on the internet too. You ever done that? I go to YouTube and start looking up a video on how to fix a hydraulic pump on an excavator. That's something y'all probably never looked before, but I do sometimes. When I need the information, you learn a lot of good things on YouTube. But then by the time you get done with that, you're looking at inventions of how to stir a pot of noodles from across the room. What? You're watching a prank video, or you're watching dumb fails in the zoo. It's like, what does that have anything to do with what I started? You ever been there? And you just wander through there and click here and a click here and a click here, and then before long, then you look at your screen time and it's 3 hours. You're like, what in the world? It's because we wander through time. It's a mistake that we make with our time. We should not wander through time. We should be purposeful. And then another one, this is a big one. We wrongfully focus our time. There are people that are exceptionally time-oriented. They are driven. They are pushing towards goals, and they are sacrificing so that they make sure and they exclude everything that does not help them get to their goal. And they're very time management oriented. They have their to-do lists and they have their calendars. I have all those, but I just never check them. So hard to remember. But there's people that are that way, and then us Christians can even be that way. We are driven. We have careers, and we have schedules, and we have opportunities, and we have to get up, and we have to go, and we have to be, and we have to go there, and we have these things that we go for. But Scripture teaches over and over and over again to be careful that you don't focus on the wrong thing with your time. The parable goes to the rich man that had so much barns. He didn't know what to do with his goods, and so he decides, well, I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build bigger so I have more. And the Bible says that the parable addresses his life situation and says, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. All of your goals and all of your hard work is about to disappear. There will be nothing that lasts from what you've invested your life in. And you have focused on the wrong thing. We can get so sidetracked by our financial well-being, careers and jobs. That's why Paul tells Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money talks. People will make sacrifices for money. People will make choices that they would never make if money wasn't involved. And that love of money, that desire to be rich, to have even just a mediocre life, that desire can corrupt the genuine focus of eternity, and we can become focused on the here and now and forget that we are not in living for the here and now. We are investing as Christians into that life. And even though we may be focused and we may be well motivated to accomplish these tasks, if it's the wrong task according to God's perspective, what have we really gained? It's why James says this life is but a vapor. The things that you build and develop and grow for this life will matter very little, if any, for all of eternity. And Scripture over and over and over again calls us to say, don't make this mistake. Don't miss the eternal perspective of your time. But we wrongfully focus our time often. I don't know how time goes for you. I don't know everything you spend your time on. You probably are the only one that actually know what that looks like. But I want to remind you that time is ticking away. And you only get so much. You get the same amount as everyone else every week. How many weeks you get, that's between God and God's wisdom. He decides that. But every week, He graces us with a gift of 168 hours. So I would ask you, are you redeeming the time? Are you taking advantage of what is before you? Are you living for the eternal? Are you setting your affections on things above rather than things of this earth? Is your desire to be all that God wants you to be here so that there you can bring Him the most glory? Is that where you're living for? There's going to be a lot of disappointed people in heaven. Maybe they're saved, maybe they're Christians, but they realize with the perspective of eternity in view how much time they wasted. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to stand before the Lord and Him say, look, I gave you 73 years. What did you do with it? Show me. Where's your investment? He calls for the accountants of time. He says that He's keeping track. And He lays out the record, whatever that process looks like. And He says, what did you do with 73 years that I graced you with? I wonder sometimes if there's going to be several of us that have 70, 80, 90 years. We get to heaven and we think, well, God, I was this and that happened. And then He looks over across heaven and He calls some 7-year-old boy or girl across the room and He says, hey, how did you invest your 7 years for me? And He's going to look at us and say, what gives? I gave you 70 and they have 7. And look at all that treasure that they have. We tend to miss it. And it takes that childlike faith to believe what God has instructed us to do and to actually base our life on that. I don't know what that looks like for your life. I don't know how that shapes up. I don't know what direction. I barely know that for my own life. But I hope that I spend my life investing for things that matter, using my time wisely and not foolishly. God is instructing us in this season of reflection to take advantage of our time for eternal purposes. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were just 50% more productive with your time? If you were intentional for 50% of the time more. Take out the time you sleep. Take out 7-8 hours of sleep. 9 hours possibly. Take out the time you eat. Take out the time that you have a job and you get about 60 hours left. Can you imagine if you just took half of that and you was actually intentional with what you invested that 60 hours in? Even imagine 20%. If you just took 5 more hours a week and it was intentional, like these 5 hours, I'm going to be specific with what God wants me to do with these 5 hours. It would change your life. But change your eternity. And we have that opportunity to take advantage of. A fellow named Duke Herbert says this: now is the only time that touches eternity. It's always now. Now is the time to do the next right thing. Think about that. Tomorrow doesn't touch eternity. Yesterday has already had its impact. But right now touches eternity if you invest it wisely. I'll read the passage one more time. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for your wisdom. It's a simple truth. It's just 3 little short verses. There's plenty of other verses that we could look at that illustrate these ideas, but I feel like you just wanted us to keep it simple. And challenge us with the awareness of how we use our time. This is a season of reflection and high school graduations and summer plans. We think about what we're going to do over the next 3 months. It comes naturally for us to make plans, to try to squeeze things in and rearrange, and we face changes in our pattern of life. We face different opportunities. Even in my own personal life, my own family, I know there's things coming that's different than what we've been dealing with. And we have these choices to make. I guess above all, Lord, I would ask that You would influence those choices. That Your Holy Spirit would lead us into how we truly invest our time. My heart goes out to our people and to myself, that we would stand before You and we would be well-pleasing to You. That's what's going to matter for all of eternity. And the hard part of that is that when we live in eternity, this life will be small. It'll be less significant than even graduation was to me 24 years ago. It won't have mattered as much as then matters. So I'm just asking, Father, for Your grace to influence us to take advantage of the time that we have, that we would know Your will, that we would know what fits in our 168 hours, and we would be well-pleasing to You. Lord, please influence us today. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.